Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, this week we begin a study on the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is an event in Bible prophecy that not too many prophecy teachers talk about. We'll discuss during our study the next couple of weeks the promise of the judgment seat of Christ, the procedure for this judgment seat, and the prize that we'll receive at the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, the judgment seat of Christ actually prepares our wedding garments for our marriage to the Lord and the marriage supper of the Lamb. The judgment seat of Christ will take place in the period between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. I must remind you that when we study the book of Revelation, we have to do it chronologically, not numerically. Therefore, as we begin our study today, we'll go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Take your Bible and go with me to chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. And I want to show you something in chapter 19 that you may have had questions about. And I'm talking about the marriage of the body of Christ, we that are the bride of Christ, Christians, to our groom, Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, and starting in verse 7. And by the way, this is going to be absolute solid evidence that indeed you don't study the book of Revelation numerically, you study it chronologically. In chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Revelation, we see the rapture of the church depicted. That's that first event, the next event to happen before the seven-year period of time. Then there are 16 chapters of detailed information about that tribulation period. That'd be chapter 4 through 19. Chapter 19 and verse 11, we see the return of Christ back to the earth. Chapter 20, verses 1 to 6, we see the thousand-year millennial kingdom. Chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, we see the great white throne judgment. In chapters 21 and 22, eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. But if you look at chapter 19, verses 7, 8, and 9, we see a very important event that's going to happen right after the rapture of the church. Here it is. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The marriage of the Lamb has come. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we see here what is going to be the process for that marriage and then the celebration of the marriage. I must remind you that this is following the pattern of a Jewish marriage. There are three parts to a Jewish marriage. There's the engagement period, there's the ceremony, and then there's the celebration. The engagement comes about when the father of the bride-to-be and the father of the groom-to-be get together with these two young people. The fathers then make a decision whether they can be married. At that point in time, the father of the groom says, son, I want you to come back to the house. Your mother and I have decided we're going to allow you to build an apartment on our house. This will be very, I think, economical for you. You'll not have to buy the land. We'll help you pay for the materials, and we'll help you build. But I want you to come back to the house. I want you to build this apartment. Then you can come and marry your bride. And then the father of the bride-to-be says, now, honey, you come on home with me while your groom-to-be has gone to build your place where you're going to live together. You will get your garments ready for that wedding time and the ceremony. The groom-to-be goes back to his father's house and he starts building his apartment. When he gets it finished, he's going to go to marry this bride-to-be. By the way, he does not make the decision when the apartment is finished. His father makes that decision. If it would be up to him, he would go back, put up a lean-to, and go get that bride. But he goes back and he builds this apartment. After the apartment is finished, his father says, you can go get your bride and be married, have the ceremony. He calls his best man. And his best man will then walk through the streets, and I've seen this happen in the old city of Jerusalem. He will walk through the streets of the area in the neighborhood where the bride-to-be is living, and he will shout, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And that day they all go over that evening to meet at the house of the bride-to-be. The rabbi's there, the families are there, and they have the ceremony. Once the ceremony is completed, the bride and the groom, now husband and wife, go into a secret, secluded location. Once that is done, the groom steps out and says, the marriage has been consummated. Let the party begin. And for 7 days, they party. And that's the celebration. It's unbelievable. I've been to one of those days. I was on the fifth day. I came into this gathering hall where they were having a party. It was going wild. And so I was invited by the two rabbis, who were the fathers of the groom and the bride, and the new groom, to come join them in a foursome in a folk dance. I tell you, those Israeli folk dances will kill you. About 2 minutes in, I was having cardiac arrest. And so I flipped my K-pop off. And, oh, I said, I dropped my K-pop. I'll be right back, guys. Never did come back because I wasn't going to die at that celebration. Now, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that there's this a long time celebration. 7 days is what it is. If you've ever read the first miracle there in John chapter 2, you realize that Jesus and his disciples arrived on the third day of the seven-day celebration. And at the end of the seven-day celebration, they come together, and the groom presents his dear wife as his wife now, and then they go into their existence, going back to their apartment that he has built. That's exactly what's going on. We have two parts of the marriage operation right here, the ceremony and the celebration. The first part was when Jesus in the upper room said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. For when I saw, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're engaged to Jesus Christ. The shout is almost to be heard. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And when he shouts and we go up, soon after that, we will be married to Jesus Christ. But there's something before that marriage ceremony that takes place. That something is the judgment seat of Christ, where you and I will stand to have the finishing work done on our wedding garment to be married to Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of Christ happens after the rapture of the church. Let me show you the promise for the judgment seat of Christ. Go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 lays out for us the fact and the promise of the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14. And look with me here in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Well, start up here in verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, hey, why are you judging each other? Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says the exact same thing. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of all that we did good and all that was bad that we might have done. There is a promise in God's word that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is a part of the process being able to be married to Jesus Christ for the rest of eternity. This is a part of the process because it is going to prepare our garments. I'll show you that in a moment. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Not only is there a promise, but there is a procedure that will be followed in the judgment seat of Christ, and this will take place after the rapture of the church. But after the rapture of the church, there's going to be a period of time. That period of time will have three events that must take place. First of all, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 goes into play, and that is the 10 horns that appear on that last of the Gentile world powers that was in place at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. That is the Roman Empire. The 10 horns, as defined in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, will be a revival of that Roman Empire. It will have the same characteristics of the old Roman Empire, but it will be the revived Roman Empire, and it comes into place after the rapture of the church. I believe the Roman Empire is about to be revived. I believe the infrastructure for that happens to be the European Union. Not enough time this morning to go into that, but I believe that the revived Roman Empire is on the horizon. In fact, the European Union has already called itself the Empire. And everything they're doing with a common currency, with a legislative body, with the purpose of putting a military operation into place, with world control, it's moving into position even as we speak. So the revived Roman Empire must come into existence. The second thing is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, the little horn has to come out of the ten horns. That word little horn is one of 27 names for the title of the Antichrist. And so the Antichrist has to come to power coming out of the revived Roman Empire. The third thing that has to happen to start the clock ticking on the seven-year tribulation period will be the confirmation of a peace treaty. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant, a peace treaty, with many, the Jewish people and her neighbors who are their enemies, with many for 1 week. And that starts the clock ticking. When that confirmation of that peace treaty is made, that starts the clock ticking on the seven-year tribulation period. And so indeed, those three things have to happen. The revived Roman Empire, the appearance of the Antichrist, and the confirmation of a peace treaty. How long will that take? Nobody knows. The Bible is silent on it. It will take a period of time. In the heavenlies, that's when the judgment seat of Christ will be taking place.
After the rapture of the church, three things must happen. The revived Roman Empire will come into place, and out of this Gentile world power, the Antichrist will appear. Then the Antichrist, the false Messiah of the Jewish people, will confirm a peace agreement between the Jews and their enemies, the Arab and Islamic world. The stage is set for all three of these events to be fulfilled. It's during the time after the rapture and the peace treaty confirmation, however long that period will be, that the judgment seat of Christ will take place. Therefore, the judgment seat of Christ, a key component in the end-of-time scenario that can be found in God's Word, is about to come to pass as well. The judgment seat of Christ is promised in God's Word. Next week, we'll look at the procedure for the judgment seat of Christ. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...